I'll be back with you again tomorrow night. My guest, Adam Bly, Angels versus Demons. We'll be hearing encounters with both sides of the spectrum, taking your calls and hearing about real-life encounters with angelic realms and the demonic forces that are at work here on Earth on a daily basis. Do they exist? We'll find out from Adam Bly tomorrow night. Tonight, we're discussing conspiracy theories. I'd like you to call in, share your ideas with us. What conspiracy theories do you think are just too out there? Conspiracies that you've heard for years that you just can't possibly believe or wrap your head around. What conspiracy theories do you think that are underneath the surface that we have yet to broach? Do you have a unique perspective on any of these? I'd like to know. So give us a call and share your insights with us. We'll start taking your calls right after this. Good evening. Welcome to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. It's a pleasure to be here with you. We're taking your calls, your emails. We've got a lot going on. Now, some people are emailing me here. I'm a little confused, telling me that I'm taking the government side and I'm nothing but a shill for the United States government. I'm not quite sure where you're getting that aspect. At no time have I said that the government does not do this. No time have I said that the government has not pulled some shenanigans. I'm simply asking questions of the callers and of our guests, trying to get an understanding for it, not just blindly following their lead because they say it's true. I want to know where the information is coming from. It's called hosting a radio show, folks. We don't ask questions. We don't get to answers. Doesn't mean I'm going to believe everything everybody tells me, but isn't it telling when people do call in and I ask the question, and where would this information come from? Well, some guy said it online does not bode well in my book. That doesn't mean I'm standing up for either side of the argument, but it certainly lends to the credibility of the story and to the arguments that are being presented this evening. All I want to do is ask questions and try to learn along with you, get some insights from the different callers from around the world that have different perspectives on this topic. That's what we're going to do right now as we go to Wildcard Line 3, Anthony, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thanks for hanging in with me, Anthony. What's your topic you want to chat about?
What topic I want to talk about is the Muhammad Atta group. I lived in South Florida. I lived in Hollywood at the time, and I've seen him with the 19. Now, when you see this, being ex-military, being in Israel back in the 70s, I asked them, what do you look at your enemies? They have a certain signature, the way they walk, their eyes. These people cannot change their signature. Once you understand what that signature is, you can pick them out of a crowd, no matter what they dress on. So how I ran into these situation was I was in New York in April at a communication school, and I asked the person I was staying with, can we go to the Twin Towers? He said, they're both closed. And I said, why are they closed? He said, because they try to take them down with the vans. So they have both of them taken shut down for the public. I believe it was the 20th floor on the way all the way up was shut down. So after the school up there, I come back to South Florida. Now, what's the odds of running into a certain group of people that drew your attention? It was a very heavy type feeling when I seen these people. I've seen them all. I worked in the communications up and down the beach on lifeguard stands. So I've seen them in Deerfield Beach. I've seen them in Hollywood, Florida. I've seen them in different cities around Broward County. It got to the point where they start looking at me because I've seen them so many times, because my job was covering all over the place businesses with their telecommunications.
Let me ask you then, what are you asking, Anthony? Why are you noticing these people all over? Is that what the angle is?
When you say it's a conspiracy, I'm saying I'm seeing this right in front of me from my military background, from what the Israelis had told me to look at. When you try to explain it to somebody, they go, it's just a guy walking. I says, no, that's not the case. There's something going on. When you see people sitting on the beach in a circle, and Muhammad Atta, for example, was sitting in the center, you could tell that guy was the head cheese of that group. It was like the energy was just incredible. People in South Florida who've seen these people know exactly what I'm talking about. They've seen them in the bars, the pool areas,
Well, couldn't it be working almost like a mnemonic trigger, though, when you're told to look for something? It's like telling somebody, don't think of a white rabbit wearing a pink hat. You can't not think of a white rabbit with a pink hat. It's part of the way our brain works. It's like, you know, I owned a purple PT Cruiser. I got Minnesota Vikings purple. I thought, this is awesome. Nobody, I see black, I see gray, I see silver. I don't see any purple. And everywhere I drove, all I could see were stupid purple PT Cruisers. Does that mean that Dave Schrader went out and bought a purple PT Cruiser and then the world went out and bought him? Or does it mean that once I was keyed into that, I began to notice and see things and notice patterns developing? Then the question remains in your argument, are you in fact noticing this pattern correctly, or are you just noticing similar patterns? And the brain is always trying to work in a pareidolia sense to make sense of anarchy, to make things recognizable, to fit patterns that our brain can process. Do you ever question that maybe you're just overreaching by noticing these things, and that it may be nothing more than just a gathering of people sitting in a circle?
No, well, that was just one of the examples. I've seen them at different. Well, I know what you're saying, but What it is, it's a heavy feeling. It's like if a woman gets raped, for example, and she sees the guy, and she sees him again, she could pick him out. That type of feeling. You're like, oh my God, here we go again. There they are again. And then the person in Hollywood, Florida, who was a friend of mine, lived there all his life. Once I pointed it out to him, he took an extra time to take a close look, and he said they start looking at him. With him not even following him, they would just happen to be in the pool hall areas where he would show up. And he said, they kept looking at me, and they have this body language that would just make him, like, his hair go up. Just, it was like a trigger would just set off. But I'm just saying, like today, for example, I believe we have another group here because I showed fire station lieutenants where this area where I live. They were walking up and down our streets with backpacks with certain cell phones and certain color headsets, and they were talking to each other on the corner of the streets of Broward, for example. Then they would walk in different directions, but as they're walking down the street, they stay 75 feet from each other, talking to each other. So I stop and just observe this. I go, here we go again. We have another signature. So what I've done, I went to authorities and showed them with pictures. And they seen exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, now, the one thing to consider, and I don't know because I'm, of course, not from that area, there are different laws, different regulations in every state about sizes and groupings of people. Sometimes they'll break up into smaller groups and walk because otherwise you're considered a gang or you're considered part of a threat. And this is, it's strange, but that is the way it goes. And some people know that deal. And if they're sticking all together and they're of a certain color or certain religious background, they may just want to avoid being profiled and picked on maybe unceremoniously just because they're hanging out in a group. So they may spread that out. But what did the government, what did the law say when you brought this to their attention? Was it something that they said, we know this is going on, we're already keeping an eye on it?
Or well, I explained my story to the lieutenant, for example, the building that they walked across. And he said, that's odd that you're showing up because I saw two U-Haul trucks that should not have been in between the building and the church school. That normally says you cannot park there overnight. And then these two guys were in the same date of the week that those two vans were there that were not allowed to be there, that he ordered them out of there. But, I mean, I'm not saying they're both together, but it's funny how I came in and showed them and said, now take a look at the way they're looking and the way they're looking. They're having the same headset. And
well, and that was just the police that you were contacting, or were you talking to military officials?
Lieutenant Fire Chief.
Okay.
Because it was in front of
if you're involved in the military, you're former military, why wouldn't you contact somebody, FBI, CIA, or military about it? And what are they saying about it?
What they did, they put a monitoring vehicle across the street, directly across from where these two people had walked up the sidewalk. They put an observing unit out there. And it's been there for about 4 weeks now.
And have they found anything?
I don't even go into that. I just give them the information that says, here's my story. Take it for whatever you want. These things did happen. I have physical pictures of these two characters walking up and down the street. And it looks odd. And you could tell homeless people from these people.
Well, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. Thanks for calling in, Anthony. I appreciate it. If you do see something that sets off alarms, and especially former military that see things that they were taught to look for, I appreciate that you're watching out for us here in our own backyard and alerting people to it. I think that's an important first step. So thank you for doing your due diligence and at least alerting the authorities so that maybe we can curtail more violent action here. Let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Jeff in Culver City, California. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Yes, I've always been intrigued with the... Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming
through.
Dave?
Yeah, I've always been intrigued with the supposed suicide / murder of Dr. Frank Olson. He was a well-respected biochemist whose death has been basically an unsolved mystery for over 30 years, and many believe his death was related to the very bizarre and frightening work in the field of government-sanctioned CIA mind control programs in the early 1970s. My question to this, Dave, do you believe that certain highly skilled and educated individuals who worked on these highly classified and clandestine programs are always viewed as potential quote-unquote suicide candidates and eventual homicide victims because of their secretive work and, you know, related activities?
Oh, I would say it's probably good pay for that, because eventually everybody must know that they're a target. You know, I mean, there are too many threads out there. There are too many instances where we can look and say, all of these potential whistleblowers are gone now. Accidents, freak accidents, where if you took a pool of, say, 30 people that worked at Medtronic here in Minnesota and looked at 30 people that worked in a special program, how many might die by accident or suicide in those two groups will probably vary greatly depending on the security protocol of what their position is with the government or with whatever covert organization they're working with. Yeah, I would say that's not real good long life potential if you're going to align yourself and be a part of that. And it certainly has to be an awkward and uncomfortable feeling being asked to be a part of these programs, because you may know that knowing too much creates a very big diplomatic problem for everybody involved. Because that's why I think it's interesting when you hear some of the governmental stories and you'll hear about these different groups, and literally each piece is fed just enough part of the puzzle to know what they're doing, but no clue what it fits into and what the grand scheme of the puzzle looks like. That, I think, keeps a lot of people safer. Do you follow me on that? But you must be gone. But that's one of the things, Jeff, that we look at. Let's go to Wildcard Line 4, Dennis in Philadelphia. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Hi, how are you, Dave?
Doing great. Thank you for calling in. What did you want to share?
You know, someone should really look into the so-called, quote-unquote, suicides of the witnesses of 911, such as the fireman who was in the basement and witnessed explosions in the basements. Now, it was supposedly the planes hit on the higher floors, but this man was in the basement, helped to rescue people that were burned all over their bodies. He was found dead from a supposed gunshot to the head. There was another woman who was on the phone with her husband, and she was called an ear witness. Her husband was telling her on the phone how the floors were exploding. Okay, they were exploding up. Well, she was found dead. Well, she died in a so-called plane crash, a plane crash that the FBI was in charge of on the ground. Now, the FBI only gets involved in plane crashes when there's foul play. Okay, there was another woman who, and I'm sure you know this, who was a madam. She was in charge of an escort agency, and she said that many of the people that were supposedly involved with hijacking these planes were her clients. Okay, now they're supposed to be about Muslims who were drinking and were cohorting with women. Well, she was found hung in her home. The last one is this, and this is really, I'm surprised that people do not even ask this, because when I talk to people about this, they look at me like I have three heads. World Trade Center 7, and I witnessed this while I was watching it live on ABC, where as World Trade Center 7 was burning, the fire marshal was there, and the landlord comes upon the scene. The fire marshal asked the landlord, what do you want us to do, let it burn or bring it down? He said, bring it down. Well, within a half hour, the building was brought down. Second of all, it takes weeks to set explosives on a building. Blueprints have to be looked at and so forth. Well, if no one was in the building, everyone is running out because the building's on fire. How were the explosives set in there in the first place? Well, they had to have been set weeks before. And why were they set weeks before? You know, so all of this has to be asked, and no one is asking this.
Well, I think there has been quite a few people asking that. I know.
What I mean is, as far as people that you know of 911 and have watched this, people that I talked to, but they have been put two and two together. They just accept, you know, the story that was put out there.
Well, again, I think kind of revisiting what we spoke about a little bit earlier this evening, Dennis, is the fact that it gets scary when you think about it, that our government may have involved themselves in this fact so that they could, for ulterior motives, so that they could go to war, have control in countries, do things that they wanted to do, governmental contracts, things that might behoove other people, and in a direct way, put our people at risk for this, for a political agenda. I don't think people want to believe that, because that's the most terrifying thing on the planet. Well, these are the people that are supposed to protect us. These are the people that are supposed to watch out for our best interest and our livelihood and, you know, truth, justice in the American way. So I think a lot of the reasons people don't ask it is, A, it isn't that they're not asking. I think people don't know how to ask the right questions. And there's so much rhetoric and things get talked over their head. Nobody wants to look stupid. So when you're responding and you're giving a lot of information, most people will go, oh, that must be true, because that sounded very enticing and very intricate.
Well, when I ask people, how do you set explosives? How do you set up explosives to bring a building down in a building that is on fire? And they don't want to ask me. They right away answer my question with the question and say, well, why would the government do this? Well, you're not answering, you know, I tell them, you're not answering the questions that I'm giving you. How do you set up explosives in a building that's on fire within a half an hour? It's absolutely impossible to do this. They had to have been set in there. And why were they already set in there weeks before? And there is so much about this, but people just, you know, especially with the 911, friends and family of 911 victims who have been demanding that this investigation be opened again. One of the women who was demanding this was found hung. I mean, there are up to almost 20 people that have witnessed things during this event have now been found dead. One man was found dead from an antifreeze poisoning. One woman was found crushed to death by her own car. People have been found hung. People that had information, you know, and this is that would be a great book.
Right, and I think that they have put some of those things together with the buildings. Not being an architect, not understanding the way it was done, these quote-unquote explosions that were heard, there was so much pressure that took place when those planes hit. The force of the planes hitting the building, the explosions that followed, I don't know how that affects the structural integrity of the beams, of the, you know, the skeleton of the building, of the materials that surround the building.
Let me tell you this. There was a fire in an office building here in Philadelphia about 15, 16 years ago. And let me tell you, that was burning for hours. Mm-hmm. And the building, not one part of the building collapsed. Here you have the building was absolutely vaporized. I mean, literally vaporized. And it's impossible for a fire to literally vaporize a building into literally dust. Something more was going on there.
Let's take our break. Thank you for the points. We'll continue taking calls here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back with you again tomorrow night. We'll be discussing angels versus demons with our guest Adam Bly. Then next Friday, I'm your host on Coast to Coast, The Haunting of the Sally House, one of the most well-documented and world-famous hauntings. As a matter of fact, it's been covered on numerous TV shows, and a movie was made about it as well. We will discuss with Deb and Tony Pickman some of the horrific dealings that they've had and continue to have to this day in one of America's most haunted houses. So we'll be discussing that next Friday. I hope that you'll continue to join me. And if you like the strange and unusual, the supernatural, the paranormal, and the fringe of our own world, then check me out Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight, as I host Darkness Radio. You can listen to it from a live stream right at our site, darknessradio.com. Then keep your dial tuned right there, because as soon as our show wraps up, George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey into the strange. Tonight, we're focused on conspiracy theories. We're taking your calls. I love your insights. Keep sharing them with me. We'll take more of your calls right after this. Wildcard Line 5 Cameron in Meridian, Mississippi. You're with me on Coast to Coast AM. What did you want to talk about?
Yes, I was going to ask Simon, does he think there is a conspiracy of the odd death of a Teflon kid in New Jersey about three Muslims?
You know, Simon is no longer with us in this hour. I apologize. Oh. We do have links to him on our website at Coast to Coast AM. I'm sure if you want to hit him up with a follow-up email, he may be able to help us with that. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the story, Cameron? I'd love to hear a little insight in what it is that you know about it.
Well, I don't know much. I was just watching it on Fox News last night, and this Brandon Teflon, yeah, starts with a T, he was driving, and he was coming home from a party on June the 25th, and according to Fox News, it's been found out that he was brutally shot several times in his car at a parked light by three Muslims. And I thought that was really strange. They thought he had been involved with drugs or anything, but he's a straight-A college student.
Oh, the possibility that the terroristic attempts are actually starting to take place on American soil. Is that part of the story you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I read a little bit about that. I did not have a chance to get as deep into the article as I'd have liked as well, but it's certainly intriguing. You know, I'm fearful of the fact of jumping to conclusions that that's what's going on. You know, you certainly don't want to start pointing the finger at everybody of a certain faith or belief system simply because they are part of that faith and belief system. You know, many people could point the finger to Christianity being a violent, hate-filled religion as well, because more people have died in the name of God and Jesus. Does that mean that all Christians and you know, believers are killers? And certainly that's not the truth of it, nor would I want anybody to believe that. It's something to keep an eye on, and if we start to continue to see this trend taking place, it is certainly something I think people should definitely take notice of. We'll keep watching the news and see what comes from that. Thanks for weighing in with us, Cameron. I appreciate your insight. Let's go all the way out to Alaska, west of the Rockies. Steve, you're on Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, Dave, thanks. I wanted to bring up a subject that has been covered quite extensively on Coast to Coast in the past. Dane Wigington's been on the show, and to talk about geoengineering or the worldwide climate engineering programs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, it fits into this conspiracy theory category. It's been put there by the media and by the government, and local government even is forcing it into that corner. Geoengineering and climate engineering is not a conspiracy theory. It's actually happening, and I'm just calling in to try and wake people up to it. So, you know, It's a white elephant in our sky. You look up, you see it, and you see it everywhere. It's happening worldwide. People need to understand what it is, what's being put in the sky.
All right, but that's the point. People should understand it, but where do they go for realistic understanding? Because there are studies that come out that say that there is nothing, there are no traces of chemicals, and there are studies that come forward and say that there are trace chemicals in our atmosphere and that we are being manipulated, our weather and our food systems.
It's obvious. What I'm saying is it's obvious. And the source to go to is Dane Wigington's site. He's been on the show before for a full hour and a half, I think he was on the show, discussing these programs. Stratospheric aerosol injection is a word for chemtrails, unfortunately, which is not a good word to use. It's not a scientific term. Stratospheric aerosol injection, solar radiation management. And these are all what people say are chemtrails, and then people ridicule them you know, we're not the crazy ones. The people that everybody sees it. The real psychopaths in this whole thing are the scientists that created it and the people that are implementing it worldwide. You know, it's going to crash. The planet is it's spiraling out of control right now. And, you know, we're headed for a biosphere collapse because of geoengineering, you know, mainly because of geoengineering. There are other factors in this, but geoengineering is the biggest factor in the collapse of our biosphere and the collapse of humanity. So people just need to wake up to it. Dane's site is great, great place to get information. It's geoengineeringwatch.org.
Thank you for the insights. We appreciate you weighing in with us on that, Steve. Let's go to Wildcard, Line 1, Ashley, Rapid City, South Dakota. What did you want to talk about?
Well, actually, a few things. I was hoping to talk to your guest, but I just missed the tail end of him. First, actually, Sandy Hook, I wasn't going to talk about that, but is it possible that it's a conspiracy of a conspiracy and that it's just some sick thing of, you know, people who wanted to take this act that was so horrible and keep spinning it so people would think, hey, maybe it's something I haven't delved into, but...
Right, maybe twisting the conspiracy into an agenda to... For people that feel that their guns are in trouble, try to use it as that. I mean, that's certainly... a very respectable point, you know. I mean, that's something to look at. And that's why I said you've got to be cautious with whatever angle you take, because everybody has a book they're trying to sell, a documentary they're trying to back up. Everybody's got information to support their version of their truth. So that's why we all have to keep educated.
Well, and with YouTube, the average Joe, you know, I don't have to be published by anybody. I can make a video and say, you know, here's this, this, and this, and it'll make it very convincing.
Exactly, and that's the whole thing with the advent of the technology sector and how easy it is to create videos, audio, do things that make it appear another way. We don't know, and I think that's where it gets so hectic. People say, oh, you've got to educate yourself, you've got to look, you've got to, and there are some amazing websites out there. There are some amazing resources that you can get information from, but the thing to consider is, what is the agenda of the site you're looking at? And again, I'm not taking an angle either way regarding conspiracy theories. I believe that there's validity to many of these stories, and I think that they do need to be reviewed. I think we continually need to ask questions. Nobody should just stand idly by and blindly believe in their government, their leaders, their church leaders, anybody. You should always be questioning. I believe that that's a firm fact, and people should do that.
Right, right. But that's not initially why I called.
Okay.
It was why I called. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. First, I was going to say I'm not going to get through the conspiracy. why we can't accept celebrities dying. Say, you know, we always want to believe.
Right.
Like with Jim Morrison, for instance. I've had sleep paralysis all my life, very severely. And I was about 9 years old when the movie The Crow came out, and so I didn't see it until my teens. I just caught it on TV one day. And that night, I had the sleep paralysis, and, you know, we have the black figure that a lot of people talk about, but... this didn't feel ominous at all. And actually, in the dream, he kind of gave me who murdered him. So is that wishful thinking? Do we want to keep them alive in that way?
Well, okay, let's break that into two different deals. A, why do we want to believe celebrities fake their own death? Well, it's an intriguing part of our history, and you've got people perpetuating it. People close to Jim Morrison were perpetuating that. I remember Ray Manzarek coming out in the 80s and making a drunken statement on TV that, yes, Jim is still very much alive and in Paris, and then he retracted and said he was drinking and just toying around. Many people have come forward with this. Claims Henry Diltz, the photographer, has made had made public claims also in the 80s that Jim was very much alive and he'd seen him in Paris after his reported death. But why do we have this desire? Because nobody wants to see our heroes go, especially before their time. Now, there are some intriguing stories out there. Gail Brewer Giorgio has led the foreground in or the forefront with the "Is Elvis Alive?" theories. And she has come out with some very startling information. And if you could think of two people in the world that could possibly pull off faking their own death, Elvis and Michael Jackson are definitely in the lead for both of those. And there are a lot of compelling factors in both stories that they may have survived that day. I think one of the most compelling pieces that Gail Brewer Giorgio ever brought forth, talking about the celebrity angle of conspiracy, is that Elvis was involved in a court case dealing with the mob. And there is a signature, and I guess it's through the Freedom of Information Act, she was able to obtain this. Elvis Aaron Presley signed this document helping to go after a certain mob person 2 weeks after his reported death. So is he in witness protection? You know, why is it that his personal Social Security number continued to pay taxes up until, I think, the late 90s? When we die, our personal Social Security stops paying that. Our business security and loans and numbers will continue to pay taxes because it became more profitable after his death. That's for certain. But there are a lot of questions that open up. You know, I just think people love their celebrities so much that we don't want to just let them go so easily. And especially when we get into an iconic form, why do we accept some more readily than others? Again, I think it's because of the global consciousness, awareness, and popularity of that person. I don't think there's anybody debating that Joan Rivers is dead. She was very famous and loved, but she wasn't on the same level as Elvis, Michael Jackson, Jim Morrison. You know, there wasn't that same kind of belief. Now, sleep paralysis is definitely an interesting fact. And you said that you saw a dark figure when you were dealing with sleep paralysis. Is that right?
This has happened to me since I was a kid, where, you know, mm-hmm. you have that where you think you're awake and you cannot move. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're pinned down. And well, lot of them have been very demonic sort of thing. That's why this surprised me, because this was the one that it didn't feel negative.
And this black figure gave you information stating that Jim Morrison was still alive?
No. This wasn't Jim Morrison. It was Brandon Lee.
I'd
seen a crow. And, and it was very strange. So I got caught up in it. And I think that's, again, with the internet.
Right. And with that, it's
for days and days. You can, sure. You know.
Well, and if you're in that hypnagogic and hypnopompic state going in and out of sleep, that's when we will most often have this sleep paralysis moment. And that's the brain is pumping out the anesthetic to your body to keep it set, you know, set, because it can't tell the difference between a dream and a real moment. So to keep you from punching and running and kicking in bed, your body's basically sedated by the brain. And sometimes you'll wake up quicker than that secretion stops. And you know, sometimes it'll only last 10 to 12 seconds, but 10 to 12 seconds can feel like an eternity when you can't move and you've got fear pumping through your veins. People will make that
assumption. Yeah, I know from experience
that
right. I can speak to that. Just one more thing. You mentioned Brittany Murphy, and she apparently died on the winter solstice. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, the entertainment industry, there's all the handlers, and that she was sacrificed. And Whitney Houston also supposedly died. I can't remember if it was spring or something, very close to the day. So is that just something that we want to make up in our minds to...
Who's to say for sure? I mean, it does sound like that in those cases. I mean, you know, were they murdered? Was there something going on in that time period. I, you know, again, people want to find the dark underbelly of all stories, and it's intriguing. It keeps people talking about it and perpetuating the history and the mythos of those people. Thank you for calling in, Ashley, and sharing. Let's go to the, I think, first-time caller line. We've got Bob in Indianapolis. Welcome to the show, Bob. We've got a few minutes left. What did you want to mention?
Well, good morning. How's everything in Minneapolis?
Hey, it's cold and gray here, but that's our temperature most of the year. What's going out there?
Not too bad here. I want to revisit Joan and the Rivers for just a moment.
Sure.
Your last comment, this is an interesting show tonight. I guess I'm an old conspiracy theorist type, but you mentioned in your closing remarks there about the fact that, you know, the fact that what I was going to say that it's sort of like after this, all the hoorah was over and the funeral and everything, the story was kind of buried because the war came up and that kind of covered it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, you mentioned like the one doctor quit and there was supposedly a mysterious doctor that came into the clinic and did the operation. Nothing has been said about this guy. And it's been like a blackout on the news. They just covered it up because there are other things going on. I wonder if, I really do wonder if something, you know, you say something unnice about the administration and you get a visitor. I really wonder.
Certainly it's fodder for consideration and to think about. To me, again, and here's where it might be really funny, right, Bob? Here is something that sounds so obscure and hard to believe that the joke, the snarkiness of a woman who's made a career out of doing it for 50, 60 plus years,
right,
suddenly she's going to be taken out, and it sounds too unbelievable to be true. Maybe those are the ones that are the most truth.
But I think it could happen. I tell you, this administration never met an enemy they didn't like. And, I mean, if they want to do something, they can do it, you know.
Well, I mean, the same is said with the Clinton administration. Look how many people are associated with Bill and Hillary that met with an untimely demise. Bill and Hillary, if you're listening, I don't believe it, so leave my car alone tonight. I'm going home safe. But, but there's so many different aspects to all of these stories. And I think, again, maybe that's why some people are like myself. It's hard to focus on that because I don't want to feel like there's, the Grim Reaper behind every door frame for asking the right questions.
But I tell you, the way things are going, I don't trust these people more than I can think about them and throw them. I tell you, it just things are just a mess.
Right. It is. It's a strange atmosphere. It's a strange world and environment that we live in, Bob. And there are so many things going on around us. And sometimes I wonder if it isn't, as we kind of touched on briefly earlier, the conspiracy theories are nothing more than disinformation given to us because the reality of the situation is so horrific that sometimes it helps disseminate and keep us separated. I don't, I believe that the government has done some horrible things.
One more quick thing. I'm 84
very quick.
Years old, and I've seen a couple things go around. And, I mean, I tell you, I don't know what to believe.
No, I agree. Well, thank you very much for calling in and staying up late or getting up early with me, Bob. I appreciate it. All right. We didn't have time to get to Tiberius, Ian, and John. Thank you for listening and hanging in with me. We will be back tomorrow night when our topic is angels versus demons. My guest will be Adam Bly, and Adam has worked with the Catholic Church assisting in possessions and deliverances, exorcisms. We'll talk to him about both sides of the same coin, angels and demons. What are the truth and reality, the fact and fiction of this that he understands? He has been witness to both sides of this spectrum. So this is the guy we'll talk to. We'll also be taking your calls. I want to hear your stories tomorrow night. Have you ever had an encounter? I'd love to know what those are like. So please be a part of it and call. And remember, check out my show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight, Darkness Radio. You can check it out at darknessradio.com. I want to thank all of the helpers this evening, Brian, Will, Tim Dennis back here in Minnesota, Lisa Lyon, of course, George Norrie, and Simon Trinklow for joining me, and all of you, the great listeners and callers to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night.